This call is being recorded.
Okay, let's get started. So first on the agenda is follow up on action items. There were quite a few last week or 2 weeks ago. The first one was me to write down a proposal on how the expects request shape could look like. Unfortunately, I didn't have any time to write this down, so we'll do that till next week, or I will do it in the next couple of days and send it out via email, and then we can discuss it in the next telecon. Sorry about that. The next one was the action item on Carol to extend the use cases to include API documentation examples.
Yeah, the same situation here. I didn't make it, so I'll try to prepare it as soon as possible. I was too occupied by the pull request. Sorry for that. This is somehow expected because I remember I was. I'll told previously that I'll try to put it somewhere in between pull requests, which didn't happen.
Okay. And then the last action item was the action item on public to create an issue regarding subject and posts, etc. Public.
Yes, I created this issue. I will paste the link really quickly. And I think maybe I most likely didn't write it very clear. Maybe tried to capture too many things. I see it as a sort of two-step process. That first we need to clarify the current use cases, which seems much simpler. So that's for the use case 5 and 5.1. And so pretty much it just would come to clarifying the use cases that with a put, the client, I'll add it to the payload that the client adds the ID. And in the post, we can explain that in this kind of simple case, when there's only single blank node sent to the server can add an ID because, again, I find it confusing that it appears in the embedded resources in the collection and probably on the resource itself, but it's not clear where it comes from. So, but there are other use cases that I will follow up later. I already mentioned them, a little bit more complex that doesn't make it that clear that if you would post it, that the payload, for example, with a graph and multiple nodes in there, some blank nodes or maybe even some relative references, if it's allowed. Also, I don't know if it's allowed in a post. We had similar kind of dilemma with the context, that then it's not so obvious if the server could assign any ID to any of the nodes. And I think that will take a little longer, but I think it wouldn't be hard to first clarify the existing use cases.
Okay. Did anyone have a chance to read that already? Issue 162.
Actually, me and Tomasz had some quick replies. I was just wondering, in the snippet with client sending a graph to the server, I'm not sure, but imagine a situation that the server expects a resource of a given class. Is it okay to provide a graph instead of that single resource? Formally, graph is not of that class.
The graph, I suppose, is just, you know, serialization element. In that case, I'm just looking at the last snippet, and to me, I understand it that, okay, the implicit base would be equal to the requested resource, in which case the server would have to determine that, sure, the posted or put, well, the put...
I think it was the posted resource, case here.
The put resource represent, oh, well, the put, is it the post or the put?
I think it was related to post, but just a hint.
Well, either way, I guess that other than I still stand by that the server is free to do whatever it wants with the ID and the sign and something else, I would expect it to fill it in with the base as if it was the requested document, right? The requested resource.
What in is which the case, requested resource?
Yeah, in which case, well, still, it's up to the. I agree, between put and post, this can have different implications.
Because in
I think with put it seems simpler because the client should know what it tries to do and it has control over the IRIs. I think I don't see such a big problem with put because the client seems in the full control. But I think post seems more kind of unclear because you send blank notes or I don't know even if you can set relative IRIs if you do post. So. Actually, does any of you remember, like we had similar conversation, I don't remember the reference. Can one use relative IRI in a post? So for example, JSON-LD not provide any base, but then use relative IRIs in a post?
Yeah, we had some kind of conversation. I don't remember the outcome.
Again, I would have to somewhere find the specification. But going the other way, if you get a request on a resource and you get something without the base value, I mean the base IRI, and it will use relative. I think the specification says that the requested resource is your base, right? So I would expect the same.
I think unless there's a content location. I think if there's a content location, it takes precedence. But anyhow, if you make a request, you probably can figure out the base. But I think if you get something. But I think on post, it's much more confusing. Like I think
I don't think it really is. It's you are still requesting the given resource. So either it's a get, of course, you don't have the content location header, but this is just a detail. Either way, we are talking about the ID is either the resource identifier or the identifier within the headers, one way or another. Of course, sending a payload to the server with post or put, you don't have the header, but so you only have the actual requested IRI.
When posting?
Well, yeah. So if you post
when you post to some IRI, this is not the IRI of the resource you are posting. It's some IRI or URL.
Yeah, exactly. The server will create a new IRI. In 201.
In the IRI you are posting to may be completely unrelated to the resource.
Maybe, and in which case the server would be wise to be implemented in a way that it ignores the identifier that it's given in the payload, right?
Sorry, say it again.
I'm saying that in a case where the requested collection or whatever resource is completely unrelated to the one that we are posting or creating,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that the server should ignore the ID that the client gives it. And this applies in just the same principle to non-Hydra API all the same.
When you say the idea of the resource, you mean it's only for the case if the payload is one kind of top level object JSON, which is like a name node or blank node. We doesn't take a case where you send a kind of graph with multiple kind of like nodes in it. Some of them can be blank nodes, and again, some maybe have the relative URIs. I think we have this kind of common, but in a way special case where there's a top level object, which is the kind of root, and then everything is kind of sort of framed as a tree under that, so the server can say, okay, you know, if that's the root and that's what you expect, if you have the expect hypermedia control on the operation, then you can say, okay, if that's this, then I kind of understand what's happening. But if you send a graph, I think that's...
No, you make a very good point. And in if you look beyond JSON LD, a server could potentially accept any RDF serialization, right? In which case, this is immediately obvious that if you send turtle, then you cannot easily, or well, you could if there's only one root of such graph, right? But with JSON, it's easily understandable that okay, the root of the tree would be your resource, but if you just send triples, it's no longer so obvious, even if it's a simple, if it's a very simple graph. So this applies to not only JSON-LD, and I suppose that it's something that goes beyond Hydra. My question is, how does Link Data Platform deal with it? I'm sure they have thought about it as well.
Okay, I'll try to dig into that. If someone can find references for the relative IRIs in post, that would be very helpful. You can please share it in this comment, but for now, I think, I don't know exactly if I should make a new pull request or just try to fit it in the actions. I think it's sometimes unclear. Well, I would add for the put that the client sets the ID, and I will add some nodes in a post. Probably I can make it a separate pull request and then somehow rebase my other pull request if we merge it. That on post, in this simple case, when there's only one root object, that the server, it's blank node, that the server can assign ID to it based on the IRA that it will assign for that resource. Does it sound kind of reasonable as a kind of first step just to get the use case a little more clarified and then explore other things that are not exactly use cases at this moment?
I don't think this is a use case material just yet. Think about it in this way. I think the case of assigning the ID is just a subset of the problem that we're facing. See, even if the server didn't want to assign identifiers, if it was just like, you know, add something that would become whatever blank node of a larger resource, think of any such case. Also, you could also be sending an entire graph of related resources, right? And the client could be just sending a bunch of blank nodes. And again, I think the general question is, how does the server determine which is the root resource within the graph, right? And then once, this is the first step, and then this is, I'm not sure if this is really, it's related, or is it a superset of the issue of assigning the ID? But for me, You're talking about assign the ID, and I'm saying I don't even know what to assign the ID to.
Yeah, but for the use case five, the way it currently stands, that you post a single event which has no ID, do you find it reasonable? Just to clarify this use case, you can say that the server adds ID based on the payload, which is just one kind of JSON root object, and that clarifies this particular use case. It doesn't clarify everything, but at least we don't have this kind of, in my opinion, the lack of clarity that we send payload blank node without any ID, and then when we request the whole collection or the resource itself, kind of magically the ID appears without any explanation of how did it get there. So I just would like to add a note for now to this use case, to explain how we imagine this ID appeared in the, you know, responses to the next request after creating this post.
Well, like I said, this is within the server's discretion, and there is no magic about it. But Hydra itself, I don't think, really should mandate. I mean, we could add a note. Yeah, that's fine, adding a note. But I wouldn't really, you know, try to explain too much. It's just that this is, I don't think this is within our scope at this point.
Yeah, Pavlik, what about the situation when a client sends a resource, an event from, let's say, another calendar which already has an identifier? So it's not a blank node and it's posting to the server.
If it's sent in a post, then the created resource and the ID used would be different, probably even different namespaces. So if you have like foo example and bar example, and the ID already has like foo example slash something, and you send it to the bar example host, then then it may create another resource that would kind of, you know, include information about resources with different IDs. So I think,
well, it may or may not.
That's interesting for me, but.
Or it may just incorporate the posted resource within its own graph, and you know, just attach it to your own nodes as is, and or it could just discard the ID and fill in its own ID, or you can actually, for all I care, you can replace all the namespaces. You can, you know, do anything with the resource. Doesn't mean that whatever you post to it, and the server is supposed to just take it as is. The server has full power over what it accepts and what it gives back.
I agree.
Okay, so you talk about the case with post, because you could also put a resource that has just, you know, one JSON object with an ID that has different IRI than the one you put to. So the document with IRI on one kind of host can actually only have data about resource on another host, and that's also like I think, you know, valid case that later if you do some kind of query on the data, you will get the information from that kind of small graph. But yeah, it doesn't have the ID of the resource you did put to. I think we need to probably better in GitHub issue, like, you know, describe those different variants, and I think it's probably easier than on the call to work with that.
Yeah, we can iterate on the issue. I think that's something we should do now.
In another case, we will have later when we discuss the explicit actions. I added another commit where actually I'm doing a put, and it's not a resource, it's just a triple. So I put a triple, which is making statement about some other resource. So I don't know if you had time to look at that, but that also would be a case where, you know, I make a put, but I'm not creating a new kind of entity with a type or something. I'm just making put with a single triple, you know.
But the triple already creates a resource. It has an identifier. And when you put when you put a resource, doesn't matter whether it is a single triple or a whole bunch of triples. There is some data, and just server in case of put should just take this representation and make a resource out of it under a given URL that you are putting to.
But this URL is not mentioned in the payload. So yes, you have a resource, a web document, or you can see it, a named graph, but it only contains one triple, and this triple doesn't include as subject, predicate, or object the IRI of this resource. So it's not kind of referencing the resource itself, the content representation.
But still, this very triple will be available under the URL that was used when putting.
Yes. Well, you don't like, I'm using put, but if I would use post, I wouldn't want server to try to like fiddle with this triple in any way, like changing IDs or something, because it just, yeah, I haven't thought in depth about the post, but that would be a case where, you know, it's posting a single statement that should be added to the data set, but not kind of, it's not a sort of a you know, like an entity, like logical resource, you just like a statement.
In such case, I think it's probably better.
Mm-hmm.
In such case, I think you're actually talking about patch or something else. If you do a put, your intention is to replace the representation with what you are putting. But again, what the server does with it, the client cannot make too many assumptions. So you're putting it, but you may get something different back. But if you say, I want to add a triple into a data set, well, this just makes a whole lot of assumptions. So first, you assume that the server actually stores its stuff and processes it actually as triples.
Triples, exactly. What is very optimistic.
And second, you are adding hidden semantics, right? You're just doing a post. Post doesn't have any other semantics. It's okay, server, here's the data, just do your stuff with it. And when you say that you want to perform a certain action, the description of just posting a triple is not enough to derive that.
There are any real life scenarios for these cases?
I added, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the last commit in the explicit target, actions with explicit target, but I added a case where before we had this kind of collections and link HTTP verb and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but I changed the use case to not try to model things as collections, but just the event itself can advertise that you can link an attendee to it. And it has an action. I came up with like link and unlink action, link action, unlink action. That's pretty much, another kind of agenda topic almost. But, and then this action is handled by operation that uses HTTP put. And this put expects just a RDF statement in the payload. So you just put a single trigger to say ID of a person, schema ID of a event, attendee, schema attendee, ID of a person, because that it's based on the property or predicate schema attendee. Pretty much you can this way, it's like the idea of HTTP link and unlink and link relations that you can just add a relation between two resources, but in this case, I give an example where you actually handle it by making put. So you make a put with a single statement. So you create a new named graph, a resource, but it only has one statement that doesn't even reference that newly created resource. It only references the event, the person, and the predicate attendee.
Okay, well, this is a server-side detail under the hood. When you call the URL that you will use for putting, you are supposed to receive that RDF statement.
Yeah, if you do get, so it's a named graph that actually, denotes the graph because they don't have to, but let's not get into that. So this kind of, you get a named graph with that single statement, single triple in it, and you can dereference it because it's denoted by the IRI it puts to, but it's not referenced inside of the triple. So the triple is just Marcus wrote the event, the predicate, and the person.
Yeah, but
so that's
mm-hmm. this snippet is correct in a way that it does not put any burden on a client. The client is asked, okay, when you want to invoke this TBD link action, provide me an RDF statement, put on the URL that you can craft manually from this template. That's it. The client does not have any notion of what it's doing, actually.
I mean, hold on. I'll post a link to the commit. Maybe it's easier if we look at it, because there's no template. It's just, there's a template, but
there is,
again, it just uses UUID, so it's kind of client can like very automatically handle that without any, and it just says, okay, where is it? Okay, here. One second. There you go. So that's the kind of, you can see the action and operation that handles. So the action I called linked action, that this time kind of I put expect in a action, not in operation, but that's, I think it's still not very clear how to approach it. It provides a triple pattern. And here, since you authenticated, it already gives you the full statement that you need to add, because you can only put yourself as an attendee in this case. And then it gives you operation with put and a template that uses UID. So again, you don't need to have any extra information, just understand the client that puts UID in a template. And then you make a put with a simple triple. I mean, this one has an error. I have a next commit that corrects the JSON-LD kind of braces.
What is this triple pattern doing here? What is this supposed to do here, this triple pattern?
If you see the next one, because also the person can mark yourself as an attendee to any event. So if you look at yourself at your own resource, then you will have a control that you can link any event. You just need to put the event as a subject. One second, I'll disconnect for 20 seconds. It's lots of noise here. Okay, sorry, there was a big truck passing by.
Public, isn't this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't this more a patch that you're looking for? Like, you want to patch the event resource and add in a new, like, property or a new triple?
Not really patch event resource, because me as a person who just wants to mark one set as attendee, I don't need to have an access to be able to patch events, because I could change a date or something. Like, I think if you think about access control, it may be different, but the event resource can advertise that actually, if it's all on the same server, that I can make this kind of do this action by making operation. As you see, the URL of a place to put is api://people/something/myid/attended. So it kind of lets me operate on another, just making put to another kind of sort of resource on the server, but I'm not directly modifying an event. But later still, if I would make a query for the attendees with something like a triple pattern fragment, I will still get information like that I mark myself as a person attending without needing to have access to patch the resource, because I think, it's not the same to give someone access to patch the resource and just mark myself as attending.
I don't follow. This is making it too complex, but at the same time, speaking in, you know, very hypothetical terms, like Carlos said, is there a use case that you want to achieve? I mean, of course, there is one, but something that is, I don't know, rooted in a real scenario, in a real app. Here, you're just, you know, adding a lot of new, like you mentioned in on the ticket, on the GitHub issue, you know, yeah, you are adding, you know, the triple patterns to the mix. You are mixing in RDF subjects and predicates, mm-hmm. which the average Hydra, over and over, the average Hydra consumer will not want to learn about RDF subjects and predicates. They will just want to post or put JSON LDs and be done with it.
That's why I've concealed ontology word in my last pull request and replaced it with vocabulary, just not to scare off. Yes.
I mean, I still haven't heard like clear alternatives. For example, how to do this use case of adding attendees to event. Like you yourself as an attendee to add yourself without having, for example, permission to modify the event by making put on event or making a patch on event. You know, maybe there's a way that there could be some kind of post that is almost like RPC style. You know, you can post anything there, and there's like, I think it will be like kind of a bit of an RPC flavor in that. But I'm totally open to see alternatives, like how to handle this kind of adding.
Okay, quick idea.
The resource of the event.
Yeah? Quick idea. An event, for instance, could expose, let's say, a collection of attendees for which you can post a person.
Yeah, so that was the original kind of approach I started, but then again, you will get that you either post or put. But for example, you would post a resource with an ID, but a newly created resource that would represent this attendance, sort of, without creating like a actual class attendance, but just something that would represent the attendance, would only have a, you know, statement about the person. So again, I think we could take a look at that, but for me, I would still, again, I'm not saying that this necessarily has to be like a core Hydra construct, but if I would like to use more of a triple pattern fragment, which already uses currently like the Hydra search, that seems like something that could maybe fit between. Maybe that can be like Hydra extension that is kind of, you know, for those who use triple pattern fragment, you can also use Hydra plus, again, the namespace I use is TBD to be the site. Maybe you can have extensions and then extend it with something more that is triple aware and you know, so I'm not saying that this has to be in a core, but that's for me more kind of intuitive way of looking how to create this kind of links between existing resources or entities.
Another alternative might be to use the HTTP link method.
Yeah, I was thinking about this.
Instead of trying to squeeze it into post or put or...
Yeah, but with current Hydra specification, we won't make it. The link verb expects headers.
Yes.
And
I had an action item for that.
Was it like deprecated, the link method, like in 1.1? I'm not sure if it's still...
What do you say?
Not sure. One? HTTP 1.1.
Yeah, I think we need to look it up, but I'm not sure if that's like currently like still valid HTTP method. Well, again, here we can have those actions of operations in a payload. Otherwise, like to advertise that you could link to this resource by performing operation on another resource. I'm not sure exactly yeah, how this would look with HTTP link, and that will be again more stuff going on in headers, I think.
Right, is there anything else that we should discuss for pull request 154, which is actions with explicit target? Because that would have been the next topic on the agenda.
Can we somehow make some summary from this discussion? I'm not sure what is the outcome. What are the next steps?
I think if no one has a more concrete idea, I think we just need to iterate a bit more, and probably GitHub is the easier place to do that. Someone gets eaten by a dog. Okay, then next up on the agenda is the implementation of the two new API documentation use cases. It's pull request 30, I guess, on Hera class. Carl, do you want to speak about that?
Yeah, just let me open it.
Here's the link.
Yeah, got it. I think there's only one last issue to be resolved, whether to expose this method on the Hydra client get hypermedia processor or not. I envision it could be useful for developers to decide in some corner case scenarios like HTTP 300 multiple choices. I think all the other issues there are already resolved.
Okay, Pavlik just wrote he needs to go in 2 minutes. Yeah, I mean, we can certainly proceed with this pull request if this is the only remaining issue. Like, I don't think it's a blocker.
It seems so, because I do not see any other comments that are unanswered. I've replaced the ontology word with vocabulary, and I've also merged this branch with the one that you've merged yesterday related to this unified iWrite template API.
Okay, cool. Then I guess I will merge it right after the call.
Excellent.
Okay. Then the last item on the agenda was obtaining all collection members, fixing issue 33. So that's another pull request, which the link is this one here. looks like no one had a chance to review it yet.
It's quite fresh. I think it was 2 days ago. I created it. I did update this pull request with a correct implementation on the partial collection view. Because initially I've attached the first next etc. links directly to the collection, and I've changed it to comply with the specification that uses the view relation. Cool. So in general, the feature just exposes an additional method, get all members, and under the hood it just checks whether it is a complete collection or it has a view and tries to traverse all the links starting from first and going through next until the end of the collection, gathering all members.
I haven't had a chance to look at it. Just also on a note, we know why there is no reviewable button on this one.
Good point. I'm not sure why.
I don't think I configured reviewable to create it automatically, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I would change that.
So my only, without even looking, I'm just scrolling back and forth, but there's a lot to look at. So I would just say, it probably shouldn't be, you know, greedy, as in once it starts getting the next pages, there has to be some limit. And I'd also make it exposed so that the client can, you know, add load more, as in like an infinite scroll scenario. So this would be a very nice, so that you could hook it up to the scroll event once you get to the bottom of the page, mm-hmm. then add the next page. And if it was very easily achievable from the end client, this would be useful, because otherwise, you know, just greedily getting all of it could mm-hmm. be a serious performance issue. I'm sure you thought of that. I'm sure it's here, but I just saying this out loud.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think it over how the API could look like. Whether is it going to be a callback or an event or. Okay, but it sounds interesting. The case is realistic, actually.
Yeah, the infinite scroll is something that would work. And if we could, you know, make it generic enough so that it could, I mean, not generic, but extensible, so that once you have the next relation, that's the built-in. But I remember discussions where there were different examples of how the pages can be traversed. Maybe, but this is going beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, the on-demand loading, but combining it into the same representation, if it makes sense.
Okay, I've made a note. I'll try to think it over how the API could look like. I'm open for suggestions, so feel free to put any comments.
Yeah, actually, if you would first, I'll add my comment for you to also so that we remember about this, and I'll ask you to put a snippet of how this is used, so that one doesn't have to, you know, go through the pull request changes, but just add it there. And then we can together see what kind of API we can think of it.
Okay, so we would like to see an example snippet in the description of the pull request.
Yeah, or in a comment. So I'll just comment sure. in a minute, and then feel free to add it however uh-huh. you see fit.
I guess there is a test for it already, Carol, right? So that should be a snippet.
Yeah. Yeah, there is already.
Yeah, that's still a bit hidden. So if you can just, you know, paste it in the description, it will be visible.
Sure, consider it done. I'll try to craft something quickly as soon as possible. Probably not today, but still.
Okay. Anything else we should discuss about this pull request? Anything else unrelated to this pull request? Otherwise, we can finish 10 minutes early.
In the meanwhile, I had some time to walk through HTTP RFC, and it seems like in the very first RFC, the link and unlink and patch methods were described. It was the RFC 2068. Then the RFC was updated, and there is a paragraph named saying the patch, link, unlink methods were defined, both not commonly implemented in previous version of this specification. But it does not say directly that these verbs are retracted from the specification. And in the final RFC 7231, I did not find any mentions of those verbs.
The HTTP methods were moved out to an IANA registry. Let me just look it up. All right. So here's a link which is the registry of all specified HTTP methods. The link method apparently
it is
in RFC 2068, which is the initial HTTP specification.
So both methods are in this registry.
Yeah, so I guess it should be fine to use them, but
yeah.
Yes, as the later spec notes, they are not widely used, so interoperability may be a problem for some libraries or from some servers, etc.
As far as I can remember, even PUT is not mandatory to be implemented on the server, so...
Right.
I think the only one was GET, and it should be implemented 100%.
Okay, anything else?
Looks like we're done.
Okay then. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening, guys.
2 weeks.
Okay, bye. Cheers.
See you.